had to borrow this handkerchief. We weren't expecting that Jackie was going to introduce me this morning, but thank you, sister. I love you. This is the day that the Lord has made. Come on, saints, let us rejoice. Let us rejoice. Come on, let us rejoice. Let us rejoice. Let us rejoice. And be glad in it. To Pastor Rigby, Bishop Wright, Reverend Etheridge, to the members of True Believers, all of our visitors, my Antioch family, Christian friends, ladies and gentlemen, I bid you good morning. Oh, come on, we can do better than that. Good morning. We are alive and well this morning. I count it joy and a great honor and a privilege to be here this morning. But first of all, when I was asked, I immediately ran through so many things in my mind to say no. October had been a trying month. But when Kevin asked, you just can't say no to him. But when I found out that I was among such heavy hitters, I really got upset, y'all. I count myself not a speaker, and God knows to be among such great preachers, it's a challenge this morning. But our topic this morning is surrendering your physical body. But I want to let you know, ladies, that we are sacrificing and surrendering daily. Ladies have an awesome task as far as sacrificing. We sacrifice for our husbands, those that have them, for our children, for the household, jobs, multitask and do it all. Then we're set aside. So this morning when I looked, or a couple of days ago, at the program and saw that it was all ministers, I said, you know, God has a special calling for all of us. Now, by any chance, I don't want my members to go back to Antioch and say I was up here trying to preach. I am a speaker. And normally we don't share the pulpit. Normally we don't share the pulpit, but they invited me up here. And I ain't at home, but I was invited up here. So I want to get it absolutely straight when we spread this, that I am set aside, and we know what God's calling is for us. You know, and sometimes I wondered what my challenge would be. My sister said, I've worked 40 years at one job. I've never had another job. I've never worked at Burger King. I've never worked anywhere but one place all of my life. And that could be a handicap or a blessing. But I do know that God has called me for a ministry. And I said it was to minister to children. And I was so gung-ho at one time in my life with wanting to tell the children what to do. Then my son got into trouble, and it challenged my spirit that who am I to tell somebody else when my child had stepped aside? Then I had to be reminded that it wasn't about me. It was all in God's hand. And whatever we do, or whatever he has for us, the challenge is not for me to accept anything, but to God be the glory for all the things that we have done. And I know that as a mother, that we are a living sacrifice in God's kingdom. That's not my speech, y'all. That's my testimony this morning, though. That's my testimony. I want to be used for whatever he will have me to do. Now, my topic is the physical body. Now, Romans 12:1 says, I beseech ye, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Paul, the author of Romans, was begging us as Christians to yield your bodies, to give up, to present, and to surrender, and give up the control over your physical body. Your body is the instrument through which your spirit, your soul, will have its voice, your personalities, yourself, has no experience and no expectation except to die. God created a new creature in the place. Ministry is a lifestyle. So our presentation this morning is about our lifestyle. In the passage, Paul is asking us to give up control of our bodies. He specifies the body. Now, mind you, the body, not the spirit, not the mind, not the soul, and not the heart, or anything like that. He specifically says the body. Now, I find that very odd, don't you? Why do you think he asked us to release control over our bodies? There are more important things than our bodies, right? The way I look at it, our soul, our minds, would be more crucial to the kingdom of God than our physical bodies. A soul lasts forever, but the body is going to get old and die. And I'm reminded today, when we talk about the body dying, of a sermon that I heard my preacher preach a little while ago. As a matter of fact, he preached this sermon as a part of a sermon a few days ago when a good friend of ours passed away. Pastor Weather said that the body decays. It goes back to the earth. But when the body is in the ground, the earthworms will eat up the flesh. And he said the bird will come down and eat up the worm. Then the hawk will eat up the bird, and then the eagle will eat up the hawk. But on that resurrected day, he said the hawk, the eagle will give up the hawk will give up the bird will give up the worm, and we'll be resurrected with a glorified body. Aren't you glad this morning? The answer that I come to is God is concerned about the world. God so loved the world, we've talked about this, John 3:16, that he knows that God is not willing that any of us should perish, but that we should all come to the repentance. Why didn't he use his power to demonstrate himself to the world in other ways? Why doesn't he act a supernatural way in 2008? Because he knew that people would not listen anymore. They wouldn't be any more willing to listen to the preacher today than they were 2,000 years ago. He knew that they wouldn't respond to miracles any more today than they did long ago. So he follows around, and he decided that he would give us. God has chosen to use men and women who already know and follow him to bring more people to himself. That's why he's asking us to use our physical body. Without men, women, God has no voice in this world. He has his written word, but no voice. It is certain, isn't it, because he could have used any source that he wanted, but he chose to use men and women simply to work through us for his kingdom building. What happened to those men and women if they choose to give control of their bodies over to God? What way do they have to express themselves? How will they be known to the world? They can't without an instrument, without a voice. The soul, the spirit, has no expression in this world. Without self-expression, it comes to death. We die to ourselves. Does that sound familiar? This is what happened when you and I give self-control of our bodies to Christ. The self that was using us for its own purposes is yielded to God. The person loses his self-expressions, and that means death. But God creates inside of him a surrendered body, a new creature. The creature does not take place instantaneously. It is a process that we must go through. We will never reach the place where the old man is completely dead. He lives within us, and the new, every second it takes a renewing to keep up with the Spirit of God. Our sin nature still clings to us. You know the things that we used to do? Every now and then that thought comes across our mind that we still want to do those things. But surrendering the body is one way to Christ. Are you willing to become unknown to the world? Are you willing to be invisible to yourself, to be a user for God? A living sacrifice, not like the old sacrifices, are alive. Useful for God. We don't want to be a trophy. Holy and acceptable to God is what we want to be. Holy and sanctified, set apart for a reasonable service. It only makes sense because of what he has done for us that we must serve him. an animal sacrifice. You all know the story, how the animals were sacrificed. And on the day of sacrifice, after the religious ceremony, they were useless for nothing. They were cast aside. It was simply a memorial services for the coming of the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You know what he did. He sacrificed for us at Calvary. And that is the only trophy, the only memorial that we need. So he wants us to be a living sacrifice, not dead, dead to sin, but alive and well in our body. A sacrifice was a memorial, just something that happened at that time, and after that, the animal was of no use, and they were passed on. He wants us to be a living sacrifice, a tool for service. God wants us to be tools in his hands, not trophies on his shelf. He wants us to die to self, yes, but be remade in his image and live life for service to him. Be holy, acceptable, it's our lifestyle. Which is your reasonable service? In light of what Christ has done for you, surrender your life to him, for his purpose is the greatest ministry that any one of us could have. Young people, surrender your life. Be a living sacrifice to him. We'd be reminded of the way that we dress. Are we presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice? The piercings, the tattoos, the drugs, the moral sex, the different things that we use our body for, are we presenting our lives as a living sacrifice? It is well to do and believe that are you using your hands and the tools that God has given to you to be a living sacrifice today? In closing, I'm reminded of a story of an old lady. She was 93 years old, and she sat in a chair with her hands folded. Her great-granddaughter came to see her one day, and as she sat there with her hands folded, the young lady noticed for a while that she never said a word. And she asked the grandmother, "Are you okay?" And she said, "Yes." And she said, "What are you thinking?" She said, "Well, I was thinking for a moment that I looked at my hands, and I realized," we can tell our age by our hands, y'all. We can cover up some of the things. We can dye our hair. We can paint our faces. And we can do some things to sort of shower down things, but you can look at a hand and tell the age of a person. She said, "I stopped to think for a moment how they have served me well throughout the years. These hands, though wrinkled and weak, have been the tools that I have used all my life to reach out, to grab, to embrace. They braced and caught my fall as a toddler when I began to walk. They put food in my mouth and clothes on my back. As a child, my mother taught me to fold them and to pray. They tied my shoes and pulled on my boots. They held my husband and wiped away his tears when he went off to war. They have been dirty and raw, swollen and bent. They have been uneasy and clumsy when I tried to hold my newborn son. Decorated it with a wedding band that showed the world that I was tied to one. They wrote my letters to him and trembled and shook as I buried my parents. They have held my children, my grandchildren, consoled my neighbors, and shook fists at anger when I didn't understand. They have covered my face, combed my hair, and washed and cleaned the rest of my body. They have been sticky and wet, bent and broken, dried and raw. And to this day, when not much of anything else to do is real, these hands hold me up, lay me down, and again, cold continue to pray. These hands are the mark of where I have been and the ruggedness of life. But more important, it will be these hands that God will reach out and take when he leads me home. And with my hands, he will lift me up to his side, and there I will again fold my hands and pray. When my hands are hurt and sore, and when I stroke the face of my children and my husband, I think of Grandma. I know she has been stroked and caressed and held by the hand of God. I too want to touch his face and have him lift me up in his hand. Amen. Are you a living sacrifice for him today? Thank you. Amen.